Chapter 30. Force and Movement. It is revealed to us today that the essence of space becomes celestial bodies, then that the celestial bodies become essence again through the integration, disintegration. This is the perpetual cycle of the matter which allows, with the particles and the celestial bodies, the existence of the living beings. By following with the spirit this movement of matter, we come to the knowledge of what is completed. Action of force on the bodies. But to perfect the comprehension on matter, and understand how the earth did some comings and goings in front of the sun after it was illuminated, it is necessary to discern anti-weightiness, weightiness, weightlessness, and to acquire some other notions. The sun has a magnetosphere and a breath. And its celestial bodies are constantly battling with these two opposite forces created by the essence, as follows. The material bodies have no own weight. But, as it is shown above, when they are subjected to these two opposite forces, they pass by these three states. We saw that the magnetosphere is a fluid, made by the ether, which comes from space by applying pressure on all bodies. Now, to overcome the weightiness resulting from that and to be anti-weightiness, it is obvious that we need a greater opposite force which keeps the body away from the celestial body. We know now that the weight of a body is simply the pressure exerted on it by the magnetosphere, and more precisely on each particle which constitute it. The density of a body, it, depends only on the number of particles which makes up this body in a given volume. If we speak of the volume of the body, it is something else, because myriads of particles stuck together will weigh the same weight as if they are less squeezed and form a more voluminous body. That is why the weight has nothing to do with the density of the body. It depends only on the number of particles which compose this body. This shows that a ball thrown into the air weighs nothing at some point, and that if, at this moment, we instill a horizontal and sufficient speed to overcome the constant centripetal force of the magnetosphere, this ball puts itself into orbit as it is represented. We see that it tends to go in a straight line, without being able to achieve it, because of the magnetosphere which constantly opposes it. This ball is subjected at the same time to both the centrifugal force which tends to take it away from the celestial body and at the same time the centripetal force which tends to bring it closer to it. That is why this body is in orbit around the magnet. Thus, to set a body in orbit isn't a matter of altitude because, assuming that the Earth is smooth and without air, a body could be sent in orbit at human height. But, to do this, it would be necessary that its speed is high enough to oppose to the heavy pressure of the magnetosphere near the ground. A body is thus in orbit only by its speed, which allows it to continuously face the pressure of the magnetosphere which is exerted on it. And if at the height where it is, it reduces its speed, the pressure of the magnetosphere obliges it then to enter in weightiness and to come down gradually on the celestial body. By turning on its axis, the Earth drags its magnetosphere in its rotation. Consequently, a body thrown high into space and in the direction of the rotation of the Earth can stay at the same place without being on orbit, because the terrestrial rotation has on it a centrifugal force equal to the pressure of the magnetosphere. This body is then geostationary, as if it was placed on a fixed beam starting from the center of our planet and going into space, or still according to the image of a stone attached to a rope that we would hold in our hand and which we would rotate by turning ourselves in the same direction. Use of the universal force. There are several ways to overcome the weightiness. There is first of all that of the bird, then the one which consists in using the hot air or light gases in the atmosphere, or yet the one which concerns the launch of a body by means of a sling or combustion, as it is practiced. However, there is another way, unknown until this day, but is known by the angels. Let's indicate the principle, so that we know what will be practiced in the next centuries. Composing the volume of the universe and the celestial bodies, the essence exists everywhere. We now understand that the magnetosphere, which is one of the movements of this essence, comes down to a speed equivalent to a body falling on a celestial body devoid of atmosphere. We also know that electrons are produced by the generator, as they are by the celestial body, but, in the latter case, a portion puts itself into orbit and forms rings which are the consumption. All this indicates that the essence, which forms the volume of the universe, can become force wherever we are in the galaxy and in space. It's thus enough to take it and to restore it in the manner of the celestial bodies, because everything that exists bathes into it and is made of it. So, by subtilizing corpuscles produced by a magnet, intake, and causing them to disintegrate, consumption, we shall bring down accordingly the essence that forms its magnetosphere on this magnet. Consequently, using a magnet in such a way that it absorbs the terrestrial magnetosphere at the same speed as it is coming down, then this magnet, which may be very large, will maintain itself at fixed height, at a man's height for example. Because, by absorbing the terrestrial magnetosphere, this magnet will be necessarily in weightlessness. But for a magnet to act in this way, it is necessary that the corpuscles that it produces be disintegrated like on a resistance or in a lightning of a thunderstorm. This will then cause a breath which will participate in this sustenance. If then the magnet absorbs the terrestrial magnetosphere as fast as it descends, this one will remain at the same place. But if it absorbs it faster, the magnet will rise accordingly. And if it does it much slower, it will land on the ground. Since the magnetosphere is matter in itself and that the magnet which is made of it absorbs it to produce corpuscles, it will be well and truly so. According to this principle, we can also use these corpuscles which disintegrate as a force of propulsion. For, on one side, the magnet would absorb the magnetosphere and, on the other side, it would rely on the breath emitted by the disintegration. There are thus two phenomena of intake and consumption which go together in a system requiring the digging from the front and filling in from behind, which are the two conditions for free advancement in a fluid. Therefore, it is necessary that the electricity produced in abundance be partially disintegrated, because the consumption calls the influx and dictates the overall operation. Such a magnet, analogous to the celestial bodies, can go from the Earth to the Moon at a walking pace or at some prodigious speeds allowed by the integration and disintegration of matter. That is why, without any other form of energy, it can go from star to star, because its activity will be produced wherever we shall be in space, even at the bottom of the oceans. Unlike inert and lifeless bodies that we launch in space, a magnet is a living body producing force and able to move at incredible speeds. Moreover, men will realize that when he solicits the magnet in the manner of the celestial bodies, he can make its surface redden and make it melt until provoking, if he insists, everything which happens on the sun. But in the darkness, men can absolutely not conceive it is so, because they are unaware of everything about the universal electromagnetic activity. As a result, they cannot know that there are no other forces than the electromagnetic force, which inevitably passes through the magnet. That is why they destroy everything to get energy. In the kingdom, and as soon as you will have changed your clothes and your ways of conceiving the works, you will finally know that only the activity of the magnet provides all the power that we desire wherever we are in the universe. Since in this domain, we are talking about the integration and disintegration of matter, which is the universal principle of all existence and all movement, agree that we can't escape this principle to obtain all the force that we wish, without destroying, without harming, and without limitation of duration. When you will hear it, you will evolve wherever you wish, freely, safely and independently. However, do not be in a hurry to get there, because it will be necessary for you to leave first the terrestrial spirit and acquire the celestial spirit of the angel to evolve later as it will please you. But I tell you, the time will come when man will realize that the magnet that he makes for himself is only a primed instrument waiting for us to know how to use it. For now it is not time yet, because we will have to start all over again on Earth, this time discerning good and evil. But the way to obtaining all the force that we desire, or to overcome the weightiness with the use of a magnet which can move everywhere in the magnetospheres, can only be known by angels. This is because, when we learn these things which are specific to the universal functioning of the celestial bodies and particles, the world of Satan is over. Assuredly, during the few days that you will still be in the world of researches, these explanations will bring controversy. But, in the following days, you will manage to overcome the difficulties of reasoning, and you will succeed in your researches. You will then be like birds free to go in the sky. To represent the electromagnetic forces and what their actions are on the bodies they compose, think that if everything related to electromagnetism were blue, the intergalactic space would then be of a very light blue, the intersidereal space of a more sustained blue, the celestial bodies, with their magnetosphere, their lines of force, their rings and their satellites, would be of a dark blue. And the creatures, made from this set, would also be blue. Thus draw from this image what are the things and beings produced and animated by the universal force. By transforming, the foods we eat have the effect of allowing the growth and the restoration of the body, and of producing the internal heat that animates the matter of this body. Food doesn't therefore produce the muscular strength, but only maintain the body which uses the magnetosphere alone to move. That is why even if we eat while producing an intense effort, we quickly consume the electromagnetic forces that have been accumulating during rest. We are then on the verge of exhaustion. These explanations show that if a man would go away for a long period from the immediate environment of the earth, where the magnetosphere is dense, he would die of exhaustion. To travel far in space, like the angels, can only be realized with the magnet which recreates the magnetospheric conditions, which are the source of the physical strength of any creature and the creature itself. The time and the speed. As far as speed itself is concerned, you thought that the greatest was the speed of light, which was evaluated at 300,000 kilometers per second. This speed is perhaps that of radio waves produced by man, but doesn't concern the light, which is something else, as we've seen it. No, the fastest speed that I measured with a lot of attention is the one which allows you to go from one point to another without any delay. Do you know a faster one? The slowest of all, is the stop. How to illustrate that these two extreme speeds are without delay? First of all, so that there is speed, it is necessary to have several bodies evolving differently, for, in the universe and on Earth, the movement exists only by comparison. If thus by the mind we increase at will the speed of a body, we reduce accordingly the duration that a body takes to go from one point to another. So, in this way, we can completely make this duration disappear. We then reach the absolute speed, this, because this speed completely suppresses the duration, time, and consequently the interval, space. We can no longer speak about speed, but about presence of the body everywhere at once on its trajectory, which becomes like a rigid bar. It is obvious that what prevents this phenomenon is the air and the essence of space which create obstacle for the advancement. But if there is neither air nor essence in a given volume, as is the case in the very heart of the stars, the displacement of a particle can engender its constant presence throughout its path. Therefore, speed and stopping meet up. So, there is zero speed, limited speed, and total speed. The zero speed is the stop. The limited speed is that which consists in taking a certain time to go from one point to another. The total speed is, on the contrary, one that allows you to go from one point to another without any delay. We can tend towards the latter, but without ever being able to reach it, otherwise we would not move anymore. Does this appear to you? These explanations put in evidence that time is nothing more than the duration required by a material phenomenon to appear and disappear. It is thus not time which passes, but necessarily what is a material body, either because this body moves, or because it works by changing as would do a particle or a celestial body, or as we do it ourselves during our life. It is thus indisputable that being only the measure of the duration of the phenomena and not a fact in itself, time can't have any action on bodies. Since speed, itself, is a real fact concerning the movement of matter, whereas time is only the measure of this movement, we could conclude that only speed can change things. but we must refrain from such a conclusion, because it is an illusion. For example, if the Earth revolved twice as fast around the Sun without changing its orbit, the seasons would be twice as short, as well as our existences. This is what appears. Yet nothing would be changed, because we would live twice as fast doing the same things and having the same sensations. Here is the illustration. In order to represent to ourselves the pace of the real activity of the beings, let's imagine that these beings exist simultaneously on these three celestial bodies. We note first of all that, to complete one revolution, the distance to travel around the Sun is small on the circle of Venus and large on the circle of Mars, which is making increase or decrease the year and seasons which are connected to it. Since it isn't the plants which make the seasons but the opposite, it appears that the vegetal cycle would take place at different speeds on the three orbits. Spring, for example, would be shorter on Venus and longer on Mars than it is on Earth. There is thus speed of life activity, a speed which is relative to the activity of our planet assuredly, but also to its distance from the Sun as it is represented. Assuming that there could be men on these three orbits, they would have rapid gestures on the small orbit and be slower on the larger orbit, to accomplish the same things as us, here on Earth, during a same season or a whole year. Similarly, plants would grow quickly below and very slowly above compared to our current orbit. The speed of life of beings is thus proportional to the orbital speed of the Earth, just as to the speed with which it revolves on its axis and also to the distance from the Sun. To be in accordance with nature, we must therefore have to live by solar time only and to the rhythm of the seasons, which together show the speed at which we pass on Earth. Not doing so, is already to become denatured. And to become denatured, is to weaken, by losing the faculties to understand and remain. The particle and the celestial body, or the being made of both, are composed of matter which works, moves and changes. Now, this trivial figure expresses more than the speed of life of the organic or inorganic matter, because, by showing that this speed of life is relative to the distance from the Sun, it also makes us understand that the size of beings is certainly proportional to the orbit. Indeed, these beings must be big and slow on a large orbit, small and fast on a small orbit to accomplish the same things or the same cycles for an entire year. This allows us to understand the size of the previous beings that the Earth knew during its traveling. Furthermore, we see clearly that the cycle of water which engenders beneficial rains and which allows beings to exist, can only be made at the distance of the Sun where the Earth is. It is indeed certain that much closer or much further from the Sun, the temperature of the latter doesn't allow the vital cycle of water. We shall return to that in the next explanations. But it shows us that the size and activity of the bodies are also relative to the distance from the Sun and the temperature which it gives. It thus clearly appears that the Sun is the source of all activity and all material existence. It doesn't only provide us with its light and its heat, because we know henceforth that with its magnetosphere, its lines of force and its rings, it engendered all the celestial bodies of its family before lighting up. Since it shines, it heats them up from inside with its rings and outside with its radiance. It is also the origin of water on the Earth, as we shall soon see, and necessarily the origin of the beings taken from this water by the science of the Creator of all things. This is why I say forcefully that the Sun is the origin of its celestial bodies, that it is also the source of all activity and all presence of beings, and that it is the same for all the stars of the galaxies. Assuredly this isn't what you were taught in the darkness, but this is what the Son of Man teaches on the evening of the world, in the name of the Eternal.